Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Dalad, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Gimel Mebeis, two lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had learned that the way to understand our Mishnah was to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and also to say that Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that for Lav Shem Emaisa, there is Malkus, which opened up a question in the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that we have a rule throughout Shas. Rabbi Yochanan always follows the opinion of a Stam Mishnah. Here we have a Stam Mishnah that says that the Aloch is that for Lav Shein B'Maisa, you get Malkus. Yet Rabbi Yochanan paskins that for Lav Shein B'Maisa, you don't get Malkus. So the Gemara said, because Rabbi Yochanan has a different Stam Mishnah, for where from that Stam Mishnah, there's an indication that indeed, Lav Shein B'Maisa, there is no Malkus. The question is, so the Gemara attempted to find such a Mishnah, and from the halacha that we learned in Masechta Makkos about leaving over from the Karban Pesach. But the Gemara, as we concluded our shiur yesterday, said that that is not necessarily the reason for that halacha. The halacha for that reason is because it's a Lav Hanitik Lasei. And if that's the case, we still don't have a Stam Mishnah that says that for Lav Shem Emaisa, there is no Malkus, which we could tie Rabbi Yochanan's opinion to that Mishnah. So it says the Gemara Al-Hai Stam Eshkech. It was this Stam Mishnah. Mishnah we're going to learn later in our Masechta Mitzvashem on Dav Chav Zayin Amabez, where somebody makes a declaration, Shvur Shloichu Kikazu, somebody makes a Shvur that he won't eat this loaf of bread, and then Shvur la'achlana, and he says again, a Shvur again, that he won't eat this loaf of bread, va'ochla, and he eats it, the halacha is enechai v'alachas, even though he made Shvur, two Shvurs, because the halacha is, once he made the first Shvur, he became prohibited from eating that loaf of bread, and therefore, when he makes the second Shvur is a Shvur that he's just making, that obligates him to fulfill what he already accepted upon himself. And Rashi explains that the halacha is that somebody who makes a shvur l'kaimus a mitzvah, somebody makes a shvur just to fulfill what he's obligated to do anyway, that is not considered a shvur for which there's going to be a chiyuv for violating. There is actually a machloikus if shvur l'kaimus a mitzvah is a valid shvur. But here, Tosfos points out that if somebody made a shvur that he's not going to eat nevela, which of course we're not allowed to eat anyway, because that shvur would not be a valid shvur, because ein isachal al isser. When somebody makes a shvur to fulfill a mitzvah, if somebody makes a shvur that he's going to sit in the sukkah, the halacha would be that maybe that shvur is a valid shvur. But here, it's a different situation. Because once he made a shvur not to eat from this loaf of bread, so this loaf of bread became osa to him. And since there's halacha of ein isachal al iser, the halacha is once it became osur, it remains, once it became osur, it remains osur, says Tosfos, and therefore, without the issue of nishba l'kayimus a mitzvah, if somebody makes a shvur to fulfill a mitzvah, is it a valid shvur or not? This shvur will not be a valid shvur because it's ein isachal al iser. Says the Gemara, if somebody makes a shvur, continues the brayse and teaching us, making such a shvur that he's not going to do something, that is what the Torah says, the Gemara is what means when it speaks about a shvur spitui. As the Torah Kedoshah says, "Oy nefesh kishishova levatibus v'sayim lahara lahetiv shechayovim." If one violates the shvur b'meizah deliberately, shechayovim alzadayin emakas v'alshigosan. If you violate this b'shogig, there's a chiyuv karban oyle v'yoyrit, depending on your financial situation. But makes the Gemara the point. Zu, specifically this shvua, where he made a shvua not to eat something and he eats it, that's where he dechayov and alayz of Marcus. Aval oichel, if somebody made a shvua that he's going to eat v'layachel loylaki, he would not get malchus, because not eating the loaf of bread, not eating the loaf of bread is a lav shev b'maisa. And the loch is for lav shev b'maisa, one does not get malchus. But we see from here that there is no, this becomes a source to teach us that lav shev b'maisa, there is no malchus. The Rishonim ask, why would you even get malchus for the shvua with somebody? Where somebody made a shvua that he won't eat and he ate, why would you even get one malchus? Why should this not be considered? We know you never get malchus unless there was a hasra. And the Rishonim asked that this should be considered a hasra sofik. The reason it should be considered a hasra sofik, because it's not for certain that he's going to violate the shvua. Why is it not for certain that he's going to violate the shvua? Because we know that you can always annul a shvua. And if you can annul a shvua, then it will not have been violated the shvua. So why should that be enough not to be considered, to make it not be, why shouldn't that be considered therefore a, why should it not be considered a sra sofik? Says, so one teretz that they suggest is when is it considered a sra sofik if I could undo the shvua? However, to undo the shvua, to be matter the shvua, you need to go to a rav. So it's not in my control. And since it's not in my control, that's not enough to make it into Hasra Sofik. Another terrorist they suggest is that when somebody makes a shvua, the assumption is that he's not going to have that shvua annulled. And since it's unlikely that the shvua is going to be annulled, then that's why we don't think about that eventuality to make it into Hasra Sofik. But then the Tosfos asks, here we said that if somebody made a shvua that he will eat and he doesn't eat, so then the halacha is if he doesn't get malchus because it's a lav shein b'maisa. Ask Tosfos, why are we so quick to assume that the reason he doesn't get malchus is because it's a lav shein b'maisa? Why don't we say that the reason you don't get malchus is because it's a hasra sofik? As we discussed in our previous year, the person is told, you know, you have a shvua that you have to eat, and he says, well, I have all day left to eat, and that should make it into a hasra sofik. So the number of terutzim. One terutz is that our Gemara is following the opinion that hasra sofik, we have the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is Asra Sofik Shema Asra. Another explanation that I saw goes back to something we discussed in our previous year. If somebody made it impossible to fulfill the Shvua, he threw the loaf that he said he's going to eat into the Yam. So then it's not Asra Sofik when he's told you're violating the Shvua. And therefore, the halacha is that that's why it's not considered a shvua sofik. Another explanation that I saw some Rishonim say, that the subject of Asra sofik is a complicated subject. So if we need to explain the Mishnah, the Braisa, it makes more sense to explain it because it's a lav shein b'maisa. Ask the Gemara. So now what we've done, says the Gemara, we succeeded in finding a Mishnah that holds that you don't get malchus for lav shein b'maisa. And now, therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan paskins that there is no malchus for lav shein b'maisa, we could attribute Rabbi Yochanan to that Mishnah. But ask the Gemara, Michti, haistama v'haistama. The Mishnah that we began our parak with, our masechta with, is a stam Mishnah that teaches us lav shein b'maisa loikin. And this Mishnah that we just learned is a stam Mishnah that teaches us lav shein b'maisa ein loikin. So, and we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan is following this Mishnah. So ask the Gemara, my chazad David kahay stama, why would we say the Rabbi Yochanan is following the Stam Mishnah that we just learned? Why shouldn't we say the Lavid kahay stama, that it should follow the Stam Mishnah that Amasechta we begins with? Ask the Gemara, Ula Tameich. So the Gemara asks a much more fundamental question. Rebbe Gufa, how do we understand what Rebbe's been doing? How did Rebbe, who authored the Mishnayos, say in one place that Halacha is that's Lav Shem Maisa, you don't get Malkus, the Mishnah we just learned, and in our Mishnah, the beginning of Masechta, he says you do get Malkus. Ella, we must say as follows. He says, Mikarasov Lav Shem Maisa Loikinov. Originally, Rebbe indeed paskined that Lav Shem Maisa Loikinov. And that's why our Mishnah Sosom, that's the Mishnah that he had. For Hadar, then he came to the conclusion that ain't Loikinov, that for Lav Shem Maisa we don't get Malkus. And that's why he said that Mishnah that way. Mishnah, the original Mishnah, Loizazim Kaimai, we kept at the same way. And I saw two ways of understanding what the Gemara just said. One understanding is, the Rebbe, as he came later in life, recognized that the halacha should be the lash ein b'maisa ein loikin. But Rebbe found it difficult to be able to publicize that to all of Klal Yisrael, that my original psak is not the psak to keep. And because Rebbe found it difficult to be able to publicize it, he left the original Mishnah as is, and then he continued with saying a second stam that paskins, as he indeed ultimately felt, then lav shem b'maisa ein loikin. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that, as we know, originally Mishnayis Torah Shebal Peh was taught as the name implies. It was taught that everybody studied it Bal Peh. Everybody studied it orally. When you're learning Mishnayis Bal Peh and you need to memorize, once the wording of a Mishnah is ingrained, you know that Mishnah. Once you start changing the words of a Mishnah, it becomes very difficult to change what you've already memorized. And because it becomes so difficult to change what you memorized, Rebbe saw no option other than leaving the Mishnah as is and just having another Mishnah. Changing the words of a Mishnah, Rebbe found, would be difficult. It would break the flow of how people memorize the Mishnahs. Ask the Gemara. So going back to what we discussed in our previous year, B'mayu Kimta, how have we explained our Mishnah? That our Mishnah is paskening like Rebbe Shmuel, in Linya Malkus, that if somebody violated the Shvua, he's going to chayiv Malkus. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that if that's what the Mishnah focuses on, regarding when is there Malkus, Maris Negoyim, my Malkus Ika, where is the Malkus by Maris Negoyim? The Mishnah said that when we speak about Malkus, the halacha is that Yechayiv Shtayim Shein Arba, and as we discussed, that means that there are two more discolorations that would make a person into a Mitzayra. What is the Malkus factor there? So here too, Tosfos asks a question. Maybe the Malkus would be where somebody was identified as a Mitzayra and he was told not to enter the Beis HaMikdash as a Mitzayra or not to eat Kachim as a Mitzayra. And he did violate, and he did eat the kachim, and he did enter the Beis HaMikdash. Says, so why would that not be a case of Malkus? So Tosfos answers that our Mishnah already speaks about the halachas of Yediyas HaTumah, if somebody's Tamei, and he enters the Beis HaMikdash, or he eats Kodesh. So the Mishnah, by teaching us the halacha Maris Nagoyim, is not here to teach us those halachas. Those halachas are already mentioned or any elsewhere in the Mishnah. So then, why, asked Tosfos, don't we say that the Mishnah speaking about, we know that the Mitzayra has to be sent out of all three Machnas, completely out of all three. And maybe if he entered the Machna Leviya when he was a Mitzayra, that's not what's referred to when our Mishnah spoke about the Yediyas HaTumah, that he would be Chayiv Malkus. Says Tosfos, that if a Mitzayra enters the Machna Leviya, he won't get Malkus, because that's considered a Lav HaNitik Lasei. because it's correctable by just leaving the Machna Leviya. So that can't be the case. So that's why the Gemara says, where do we find, if Rabbi Shmuel is saying that our Mishnah is speaking Shtayim Shein Arba regarding Malkus, where do we find Malkus by Maris Negoyim? Says the Gemara, there is a case. Because it's Behartai, when somebody cuts off the Tzaras, Ukrav Oven Amr Beloi, Damar Avon Amr Beloi, Kol Mokoyim Shenema, wherever the Torah says, Hishama Pen, the Al, any of those words, Eina El Elisa say, are here to teach us something that you may not do. The Torah Kedoshah says, Hishamar Benogat Tzaras, but from here we learn that if you cut off the Mitzvah, the Halacha is, somebody will get Malkus. So certainly the Torah is teaching us here that there's Shtayim Shein Arba, there are four discolorations that make somebody into Mitzvah, and there's an Issa to cut it off. Taisus points out that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that Kuf Lamedes on the base teaches us that not only are you not allowed to cut off these Negoim, but even a Nega Tor may not be cut off, which Taisus says is a problem. Because our Mishnah seems to teach us that only a Nega which is Tomei, Shtayim Shein Arba, the Negoim that are Tomei may not be cut off, not a Nega Tor. Answers Taisus that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is not saying that nothing may be removed. It's referring only to four discolorations referred to in our Mishnah. The Gemara is saying that one may not remove one of those four discolorations, one of those four in the Goyim, even if that saying the maximum into making somebody into a Mitzvah Mukhlis, into a full-fledged Mitzvah. The Gemara is teaching us that if somebody has one of these the Goyim, and was not determined to be a Mitzvah, there's still a halacha that he may not cut off those Negoim. But something which is not a Nega at all, not in this family at all, there is no issue. The Netziv says that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is speaking about a Nega Tamei prior to the Kohen's examination. The Gemara refers to a Nega that that is not Tomei, because we know that the Tzorah doesn't become a Tzorah until the Kohen pronounces him Tomei. The Gemara teaches us that one may not remove one's Nega even before it's pronounced Tomei. It is not to show somebody will develop a Nega, the discoloration, so instead of going to the Kohen and the Kohen making a determination, he'll just cut it off. That's what the Gemara says is not permitted. But if somebody has a discoloration, somebody has something on his skin which has no connection to us, says Netziv, of course you may cut it off. Another way of understanding, the Gemara says the Shabbos is speaking not that there's Malkus. Even though the Gemara in the Shabbos says they will not let it cut off even a negative tar, that means if one is not supposed to cut it off, our Gemara is focusing on the Malkus part. And there's going to be a nafkamina. If you cut off a negat tamei, then the halacha would be that he'll be that he's over the slab and get malchus. But if he cuts off a negat which is negat tar, then he won't get malchus. And the reason for this differentiation is quite obvious. When you cut off a negat tamei, you're accomplishing something, because then the kohen cannot declare you as a mitzvah. But if somebody cuts off a negat tar, he's tar anyway. So since he's tar anyway, nothing of significance is happening by having that nega cut off. Since nothing of significance is happening by having that nega cut off, there's no reason to say that the person, there's no reason that he should get malchus. The Sefer Likutei Yehuda makes a very interesting point. He says, just like we know that a person, Rachmon Tzlan, becomes a Mitzvah because he spoke Lashon Hara, he spoke what he wasn't supposed to speak. He says that what is the negative tar that we're referring to? Because what he's trying, what the Imre Emes in explaining this, it says, it's difficult to understand. Why should there be an incident to cut off a negator. What's wrong with a negator that we should cut it off? He says, why does somebody develop a negator? He explains that the reason somebody develops a negator is because just like you're not allowed to speak what you're not supposed to speak, you are supposed to say what you're supposed to say something nice. It's always important to be able to say something nice. And the person who didn't say something nice that he should have will get a negator. And that negator, said the Imam, should not be cut off, because it should serve as a constant reminder that we should try to say things that are nice, things that we should be saying. Ask the Gemara, Yitzir Shabbos, my Malkasaka, what type, where's the, so now that we're saying that Amish was focused on Chiyuve Malkas, so ask the Gemara, Yitzir Shabbos, when we speak about Shabbos, my Malkasaka, where is the Chiyuve Malkas on Shabbos? Because even if somebody as we've discussed in previous Masechta Makkos, even if somebody was told that you're not, that the punishment for what you're doing, being Mechal Shabbos, is Malkus, you won't get Malkus because it's a lav shenitin Mrs. Bezdenhu. It's a lav that comes with it with a chiv misa. And where you have a chiyuv ma'isa, the chol lav shenitin l'asaras misa bezdin, any lav that carries with it a punishment of misa bezdin, the loch is ain't like an alav. You don't get malchus for that. And says the Gemara, Mishum hachikam akim nekar v'shmuel. Says the Gemara, that isn't the question, because we're explaining that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Shmuel. And we learned in Masech the Makis on Daf Yud Gimel on Mebeis that actually the opinion of Yishmael is the lav shenet haras misa bezdin, that a lav for which there is a haras misa bezdin, there is Malkus. So that's why our Mishnah, when it speaks about Hilcha Shabbos, could actually be teaching us that there is Malkus for this lav. Says the Gemara, the reason that we're explaining our Mishnah like Rav Shmuel is because we have the problem with Shabbos, and where's the Malkus on Shabbos? Halav Hachi, suggests the Gemara, if we wouldn't have this issue, Kaima, we would be able to explain our Mishnahs following the opinion of Akiva. But ask the Gemara, we still have a Kasha, Kasha Yedias. Our Mishnah says that Yechayiv, both if the person forgot that he's Tamei, entered the Beis HaMikdash or ate Kachim, or if he realizes he's Tamei, but he forgot that this is the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't realize that this is the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't realize that this is Kodesh. But that is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, because the opinion of Rabbi Kiva is that only if you forgot that you're Tamei will you be Chayiv. But if you forgot that you're, that this is the Mikdash of Kodesh, there's no Chiv. Answers the Gemara, Lav Amrit, haven't we already answered, in order to be able to explain our Mishnah, that the Mishnah follows the Rabbi Shmuel, and it's the focus of Mishnah is, where is the Chiv Malkus? And when we explained Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, that Rabbi Shmuel said that there's only a Chiv Karbon on the future, not on the past, that's only speaking in some cases, that's why we're able to explain our Mishnah according to Rabbi Shmuel. So, and similarly, Rabbi Kiva Nami will say that the focus on the Mishnah is Malkus, and the Mishnah, when it says there's a Chiv Helam Migdash V'Kodesh, and indeed, there is no carbon oil of a Yoyrid if you forgot that you're, that this is the Migdash of this Kodesh, but there is Malkus, and the Shtayim Arba, the Shtayim Arba of our Mishnah is referring to that factor, the fact that there is, the fact that there is Malkus in all four cases, and we can explain the Mishnah's following the opinion of Kiva. Ask the Gemara, so if now the way we're explaining that the point of our Mishnah when it speaks about this is the that Malkus, so then why ask the Gemara, Yehoch Yedias, why does the Mishnah focus on the Yedias? Hasras Miboile, the Mishnah should have focused on the Hasras, because when is there a Chiv for Malkus? When there was Asra. So if that's what's the driving force, isn't that the way the Mishnah should have expressed itself? And as the Ritva explains, the Gemara is not specifically upset with the word Yedius. What the question is that Yedius represent that you knew and you forgot. That's not when you chayiv Malkus. When you chayiv Malkus, you chayiv because you knew what you're doing. And Yedius seemed to indicate that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where you didn't know what you're doing. Another explanation, the Mishnah should have said Yedius hasras tumah. It's not the word Yedius that's troubling. It's the omission of the word hasra. Yochi, halakasha, says the Gemara, that's not a question. Tani, indeed, amend the Mishnah that the Mishnah should read Yedius dasras. Ask the Gemara, Yochi, if that's what the Mishnah is speaking about, that the Mishnah's focus is on a Malkus. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Shtaim Shen Arba, Tati Te Havin. There's only two Yedius. One is that he knows that he's eating Kodesh, and one is that he knows he's entering the Beis HaMikdash. Because you have to tell the person, you are Tamei, and you may not enter the Beis HaMikdash. You are Tamei, and you may not act, and you may not eat Kodesh. So if that's what the Mishnah means to teach us, so why is the Mishnah, how is the Mishnah understood when it says Shtayim Shen Arba, it's just Shtayim. The Rishonim Rashi points out, why is the Gemara so anxious to explain that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Akiva? So Rashi explains, also a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Makkos, that Rabbi Akiva was known as Rabbi Akiva Sismasar, because most Tam Mishnayis, Rashi said two explanations. One explanation Rashi said is because most Tam Mishnayis followed the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The other explanation Rashi suggested was that most of the Tanoim who the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin attributes Tam to, Stam Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, the Samach Vav Amar Aleph, Stam Mishnah Rameya, Stam Tosefta Reb Tichemya, Stam Sifra Reb Yehuda, Stam Sifri Reb Shimon, all of them were Tamidim of Reb Akiva. And therefore the Gemara is anxious to explain here too that our Mishnah should be following Reb Akiva's opinion. Says the Gemara, but if the way we're explaining the wording of Shtayim Shein Arba doesn't work. Furthermore, the Mishnah said that Sheesh Ba Yedi B'Tchilav Yedi B'Soif. The Mishnah spoke about somebody knowing what he was doing at the beginning, and then he knows what he did at the end. The Helam Bein Atayim. Says the Gemara, Lomo Malkus Maya Vidite. That's not a consideration when we speak about Malkus. When we speak about Shogig, as we explained and will explain in Mitzvah Shem, there are many variations of a Shogig. Did you know at the beginning? Did you know at the end? Did you not? What did you know? When did you know? For Mezid, all of those are not considerations. And furthermore, the Mishnah said, Harezeb Oil of Yerid, that these are the situations where you're going to be Chayv Carbon Oil of Yerid, and these are the situations where you're not be Chayv Oil of Regal, Oil of Yerid. But the way we're learning now, that is not the consideration of our Mishnah. The consideration of our Mishnah is Malkus. El Amar Rabbi Yosef says the way to explain the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is not following not the opinion of Yishmael because it doesn't work regarding the Shavuos. It doesn't follow the opinion of Akiva because it doesn't work regarding the case of Yedius Atoma. But rather, the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe Hi. And Rebbe picked and chose. B'yedius, when in the subject of Yedius Atoma, Nosloik Rebbe Shmuel, that there's Shtayim Shen Arba, because it's following the opinion of Rebbe Shmuel, that there's Malkus, both if you forgot that you're Tomei, or if you forgot that this is the Migdish or the base or this is Kodesh. B'Shvuas, when it spoke about the subject of Shvuas, he follows the opinion of Rebbe Akiva because he agrees with Rebbe Akiva that not only is there a carbon oil of a yared for Shvua, which speaks to the future, but there's a carbon oil of a yared even for a Shvua that speaks to the past. And the way the Ritva explains the Gemara is that Rebbe would learn each sugya together with his Talmidim in the yeshiva. And as they studied each sugya in the yeshiva, they came to the determination in every halachic issue, who should the halacha follow? Says the Gemara, Amrav Ashi, Amrita L'Shmatza, Kamei Rav Kahana. I said this over to Rav Kahana. Vamali says, Loi Tema, don't explain that Rebbe Nosel Valiba de Tanoi. There was Rebbe who explained the Mishnah, in this case like Rabbi Kiva, in this case like Rabbi Shmuel. However, he himself, Loi Sirle, he doesn't hold that way. Says the Gemara, Ella, Rebbe Tamad and Nafshe, Mefarish. Rebbe himself held that way. It wasn't that just Rebbe was gathering opinions. It's much deeper than that, he says. Rebbe was saying that this is my opinion. What's the Nafkamina? Explains the Pnei Yeshua. Because if we're going to learn our Mishnah is just gathering opinions, then there's no specific indication that that's the halacha. But what is being said now, but what Rav Kahana is saying, is that Rav Kahana is actually saying that this is the halacha. Rebbe is saying, in this subject, Paschal like Rebbe Shmuel, and in this subject, Paschal like Rebbe Kiva. And not only is he saying that, he's saying it as a Stam Mishnah. And once he says it as a Stam Mishnah, that's the halacha. Don't just say the Rebbe was gathering the opinions of Tanoim. However, he himself doesn't hold that way. El Rebbe, the Tam de Nafshi Mefarish. Rebbe was explaining the way he himself holds, that he holds like Rebbe Shmuel by Tumah, and he holds by Shavuos like Rebbe Kiva. The Tanya, Menayin, how do we know? She'en Achayev, El Al Shech Be'idiyah, B'tchila V'idiyah, B'soif Ehelman Tayim. How do we know that you have to know you were Tomei, then do what you did, and then afterwards again realize you're Tomei, to be chayv a carbon oil of a yoyrid, tamaloyim of a nelim of a nelim shnei pomim. The Torah says the word nelim twice, so if we learn from the first nelim that only if he forgot that he was Tomei, he's chayv. But then it says nelim second time, that there has to be a deer at the beginning. But it's all about the person being Tomei, not about forgetting that it was that this is the base of Middash, not about that this is Kodesh. That's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. But Rebbe, says the Gemara, disagrees. Rebbe, I mean, ain't it Tzorach? We don't have to take the Pasuk and do that with the Pasuk. Harei Oimer, because the Pasuk says, Vanela Mechlal the Yoda. The Torah, when it says Vanalam, you forgot, you only could forget something that you knew. And then the Torah says V'yuada again, Hare can shtei yedias. When came matam alayim? So we know that the person knew before and after. If the person knew before and after, so now the question is, matam alayim of Vanalam, Vanalam. Why was it necessary for the Torah to say Vanalam twice? To teach us that Chayiv al Helam Tumah. You chayiv if you forgot that you're Tomei, and you also chayiv al hela migdash if you forgot that what you're entering to is the base of migdash or what you're eating is kodesh. Clearly, like the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, not like the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Ashkechon yudias, this late time the nafshei. So the Gemara says we've very well proven that Rabbi himself holds like Rabbi Shmuel and not like Rabbi Kiva when it comes to the subject of yudias atoma. But ask the Gemara, Shavuos, that by Shavuos was saying he doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, he follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. This lay tamid nafshe minolon. From where do we see that that is Rebbe's personal opinion? Svaruhu. The Gemara says that they assumed in the yeshiva that that was the right way to go. The Tayag Daisha, we know, those that say Kabbonis every day, has the Shlosh Esser Middos, the 13 ways that to understand the Psukim. Now there are Psukim that see that have first a general rule, and then has a Prat, which is a detail, and then says a Klal. And the question is, but we're going to speak about Klal or Prat. And the question is, when you have a Pasuk that first says a Klal, a general rule, and then says a Prat, there's two ways of looking how to look at that pasuk. There's one way of looking at that pasuk is that a klal u prat. The prat is here to define the klal. And what the Pirah is saying is that only what is included in the klal, ein b'klal, ala El Masha B'Prat. The Prat severely limits the Klal only to what is in the Prat. Then you have a Klal Prat to Klal. If the Torah has another Klal after the Prat, then we say that the second Klal means to say, Ey, that the Don El Ke'ena Prat. We take the Prat, that defines the Klal, and anything that's similar to the Prat is also included. Then there's another approach, Ribi Miyit. A Ribi Miyut is much different than a Klal Prat. The Miyut, a Prat, defines the Klal. A Miyut doesn't define the Klal. The Miyut comes to exclude something. And the Miyut excludes something. And if we have a Ribui Miyut Ribui, then we say that even the Miyut, which came to exclude, should be even limited and not exclude that much. So now the Gemara says, this question of how to look at psukim is the basis of the machlokes. Reb Kiva b'mat tama k'chayiv mishava. What does Reb Kiva say that there's a chiyuv shvua, that yechayiv shvua, not only for shvuas that speak to the future, but even shvuas that speak to the past? The darash Reb Meyuti. When he has this kind of a pasuk, which we just said a moment ago, when you have this kind of a pasuk, there's a choice. Should you learn it as a Ribi Miyut or should you learn it as a Klal Prat? He learns it Ribi Miyut. And therefore, he explains the psukim as follows. The Torah Kedosha says, O nefesh ki shishova levata p'svasayim, lohara lahetav l'chola shi yivata adam b'shvua. He says, nefesh ki shishova is a ribui. That on every type of shvua, there's a chiv carbon. Lohara or lahetav is a miyut. That comes to teach us that only about the future. But then, the Tariq Din Jews say, L'chol ha-shivata ha-adam, which is another ribui. And that means an all shvus does a chayiv carbon, because it's a ribui miyut ribui. And what will the miyut come? The only miyut that is excluded is somebody makes a shvua to go against the mitzvah. To vatalas a mitzvah. And now, says the Gemara, when we're learning in our shir that Rebbe is following in Shavuos the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, the reason, says the Gemara, it makes sense to say so, because Rabbi Kiva is the man the Omer, Rebbe also, given the choice of Klal Prat to Klal or Ribi Miyut Ribui, prefers the Ribi Miyut Ribui style. Therefore, it makes sense to say the Rebbe Paskin in this Shaila like Rabbi Kiva. The Tanya, and where do we see the Rebbe prefers the Ribi Miyut Ribui fashion? The Tanya Rebbe Yom B'Kol Poydim B'Chor Adam. We know if Baruch Hashem, somebody has a B'Chor, a firstborn son, who's born naturally, and he's a son, and he's not the son of a Kohen, or he's not the son of a Bas Kohen. We have to give from Chom Esloim to do the Pidyon HaBen. But Rebbe says you could use anything, Chutz Min Ashtaris, besides IOUs. Rabbanan Amar B'Kol Poydim Achor Adam, Chutz Min Avadim Ashtaris for Karakos. Ask them on my time with the Rebbe, where does Rebbe get to his opinion from? Says the Gemara, because Rebbe learns a Darish Ribui Miyut Ribui. The Pasuk says, first a Ribui. The person says, Uvaduyev ben chodesh tifte. So that the Torah is saying, Reba, that you should be paid him, you should redeem him any way possible. Then the Torah uses the words, Be'erkecha kesev chameh skolim. So that's a miyut. Not that it has to be kesev skolim. It has to be money. Tifte, then the Torah uses the words, Tifte chosev Reba. Reba, so Rebbe says, we should treat this as a Ribi miyut ribui. Riba kol. What does that mean? Rabbi komili. That anything can be used to accomplish opinion of Ben. Or ma miyut. And what is the miyut? It teaches us miyut shtaris. That documents that say some as giving somebody an IOU will not be an effective way. That I have an IOU, that somebody owes me money, and giving that IOU to the kohen will not be effective. Rabbanan. Rabbanan say, Darshi klal prati. The Peduya b'ben chodesh is a klal. Berkeches k'esach hamishas golem is a prat. Tifta chos v'klal. And again, they are preferring to use the klal uprat uklal fashion versus the Rivi Meit Rivi fashion, as we mentioned a few moments ago. And therefore, they explain the pasuk in the klal uprat uklal. When it's a klal uprat uklal, the prat, we said, defines the klal. And because there's another klal, it just comes to say anything similar. You have to dar el ke'ena prat. You have to dar el ke'ena prat. Ma prat mefurish dova metatel gufa mamin. It's something which is actual mamin. Aft called dova metatel gufa mamin. Yotzka kos. So it excludes that you can't use real estate for a pidyon ben, according to them. She metatelin. Obviously, real estate is not movable. Yotza avodim excludes avodim. Shuk shlaka kos. Avodim throughout Shas. The pasuk says regarding avodim, v'snachaltem oischem oisam levenechem achrechem lereshet achuza. So the Torah compares avodim like to karka, and therefore if you can't use karka, you can't use avodim. There's an interesting question that Rabbi Malan Zatzal asks. What does that mean? Does that mean that the halacha is saying that avodim are in the same category as karka? Or does it mean that avodim have the same halacha of karka, but not that they are karka? What would be the nafkamina? He says the nafkamina would be if the Rabbanan institute a rule that applies to karka. Will that rule also apply to avodim? If we're saying what the Torah means to say is that avodim are karka, so as soon as the Rabbanan make a rule regarding karka, it automatically applies to avodim. But if we say it's only a halacha that avodim should be treated like karka, so where the Torah said avodim should be treated like karka, the Torah says avodim should be treated like karka. But not that avodim are karka. And therefore the Rabbanan have the ability to make a rule that will affect karka and not avodim. Yotz avodim shukul karkos, yotz ishtar shav pishay metatlin, and IAU engu for mumin. So of course, the big question to understand when we learn this Gemara is that the Gemara just excluded different things that could be used for a pidyon haben. And the big question that we need to discuss is, what about cash? Is cash excluded or not? Is cash considered like shtaris, that the Gemara clearly is saying that you can't use shtaris, or not? And the Chasam Sofer and many others suggest that cash could technically be used for a pidyon haben. Could they say, what is the reason that a shtar can't be used? The reason they explain a shtar can't be used is because a shtar doesn't have intrinsic value. A shtar is only a raya. A shtar is here to testify that someone owes me money, and the proof that that person owes me the money is that I'm holding the shtar that says he owes me money. But the shtar itself doesn't have any value. And he says a very nice svara. He says, what would be if someone owes me money and the document that indicates that he owes me money gets burnt? Will that mean he doesn't owe me the money? Of course he owes me the money. The shtar is only here to testify that the money is owed to me. But the money is owed to me irrespective of the shtar. And that's why the shtar is not considered something that has intrinsic value. Whereas cash, a government-tendered currency, that has intrinsic value. And indeed, if somebody were to burn money, if somebody were to burn currency, so then I can't go and say, well, I had a $100 bill, it got burnt, so somebody has to give me the $100 bill. The $100 bill has its own intrinsic value. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, that although the Gemara is saying that you can't use shtaris, you can't use an IOU for pidyon haben, of course, the proper way of doing the pidyon haben is with chamish shloim kesef, with the 5 silver coins. But if one were to use cash to affect the pidyon haben, it would be a valid pidyon haben.